you may have heard of the medieval story of the traveller coming across a group of people busily working. "What are you doing?" the traveller asked the workers. "I'm digging a hole," one of them said. Another, I'm cutting down trees. And another, "I'm hauling rocks." And on it went. Finally, the traveller came across an elderly man picking up rubbish. "What are you doing?" the traveller asked once again. And back came the reply, "I'm building a cathedral." Churches can be busy places with lots of people doing lots of things. Yes, church involves work. But the danger of that is we can become so busy we lose sight of what we are actually doing. So let's think about this. What is it we are here to do? What is the work God has given the church to do? We are exploring some of the themes which emerge in the Apostle Paul's letter to the first century Christians living in Philippi and asking, what is it, God, you want us to hear? What are you saying to Southside? And so far we have heard that the church is not a building, it's people. And that Jesus is the heartbeat of the church. And today, what is it God wants us to hear? What is it that we need to be thinking about? The work of the church. An aspect of John's gospel focuses on how Jesus was centered on the work he came to do. Early in his ministry, in John chapter 4, we hear Jesus saying, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And then towards the end of the gospel, Jesus prays to the Father and declares, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." But what was that work? Well, Jesus came and ushered in the promised kingdom of God. He announced its coming. "The kingdom of God is here," he said. He affirmed its presence and character through all that he taught and did. And through his death and resurrection, he gave us access into the kingdom. Yes, he announced, affirmed, and gave us access. And as we read Colossians, what was it Paul said? For God rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. But this work didn't stop there. This same kingdom work has been given to us, the church, the followers of Jesus. How did Jesus put it? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Interestingly, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he, on one instance, towards the end of his letter, described the church, the Colossian church, as co-workers for the kingdom. And we see Luke in the Acts of the Apostles describing the work of Philip as proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And as we turn to Philippians, we see that same emphasis on working for the kingdom in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the life of his companions, and in the Philippian church. Let's look at this together this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. But will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again will abound on account of me. The Apostle Paul is in prison. As he put it, I am in chains for Christ. I don't know what it would be like for Paul. Let's be honest. None of us have been in that situation, albeit many around the world today are exactly in that situation. But I don't know what it would actually be like. But even in his circumstance, Paul is focused on what God has given him to do. His perspective is amazing. Did you grasp it as we read that portion of scripture? Like verse 12, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What an amazing perspective. Paul has been thrown in jail, but it has provided to him a totally different opportunity to preach Christ. And the whole Praetorian Guard knows about Jesus. We take for granted living here in Australia that people know the name of Jesus, whereas the reality is for many people around the world, they have never heard the name of Jesus. That would have been the case for the Praetorian Guard in the compound in Rome. But Paul, yeah, I'm in prison. no, this isn't pleasant. No, I'm not enjoying this. Yes, the reality is I anticipate death. But I've got to say I'm excited. I'm focused on my job. That's Paul's perspective. What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And verse 18. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. This portion of this of the scripture that we read here this morning doesn't give us a very pretty picture of the nature of the church. Church is people, as we've already talked about. People in their beauty and people in their struggle and people in their ugliness. And it would seem that, and it's interesting here, there are the impression we get believers who are actually undermining Paul, in fact are competitive with Paul and are potentially happy that he's in prison and out of the way. And yet they're preaching the gospel, and Paul's and he's suggesting, well, actually, the truth of the matter is these guys are operating with wrong motives. And yet here it is. He says, what does it matter? Who cares? The important thing, what's important? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And then again, verse 22 is he, oops, sorry, in verse 22, facing the potential reality of execution, of death, he says, well, look, if I go on living, if I continue to live, if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Paul's very open. He said, look, truth of the matter is, if I get killed, I'm going to be better off. I'd rather go and be with Jesus. Get me out of this. Get me out of this mess, Jesus. Take me to yourself. This is all too hard. And that's where I prefer to be. But if I remain here, what is it I'm going to do? Fruitful labor. Fruitful labor. Yes, the Apostle Paul understood the work, God's work for the church. And just as Jesus was focused on the work of the kingdom, on what the Father sent him to do, so too was the Apostle Paul. And we see this same focus in Paul's companions. You see, it's easy for us to say, but Paul, he was special. Sure. Paul, as an apostle, had a pretty unique and significant role in the church. But when you listen to how Paul spoke about his companions, even though their roles were different to his, you get the impression they were equally workers for the kingdom. Like in chapter 2, verse 22, Paul speaks of Timothy. And he says of him, he served with me in the work of the gospel. Now, Timothy had some leadership responsibility, certainly in the work in the church in Ephesus, and he was encouraged to preach and teach the word of God. He was encouraged in Paul's letter that he wrote to Timothy to put in order some of the things that are out of whack at the church in Ephesus, and he's encouraged, albeit Timothy's not even doesn't have a gift of evangelism, but yet nevertheless to do the work of an evangelist. Yes, Timothy served in the work of the gospel. And then Again, chapter 2, verse 25, Paul speaks of Epaphroditus, who came from Philippi. And he says of him, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, you sent him to take care of my needs. Now, while we get a bit of a picture of what it is Timothy did, we don't get a very clear picture of what it was that Epaphroditus did, how he took care of Paul's needs. Maybe he was a chef. Maybe he was a HR expert. Maybe he was a logistics gun. You know, he did all the travel arrangements, booked the next trip. I'm just, you know, carrying on. But you get the picture. This Epaphroditus is a co-worker and fellow soldier. And also, notice chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 2. Paul is writing to two ladies. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, obviously, there's some discord here in the Philippian church. And in particular, these two ladies are not getting on. We don't know what the issue is. Paul continues, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. We were reminded as we were gathering together, as people started to come online to Zoom church, and some people have their cameras on and some people don't have their cameras on, and we just saw all these names, and someone just made the comment, well, we can't see their faces, but as long as their names are written in the book of life, that's all that matters. And that's right. And so here it is, these two ladies whose names are in the book of life, they were my true companions, Paul says. They have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. They are my co-workers. My co-workers. Yes, the Philippians, refers to these co-workers for the kingdom. That is who these people were. But it wasn't just Paul and his companions. It was also the Christians, the believers, the church at Philippi, who were co-workers for the kingdom. In chapter 1, verse 5, Paul speaks of their partnership, the Philippian church, the gospel from the first day until now. And when we turn to chapter 4, we see the nature of that partnership. Paul writes, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Yes, the Philippians were co-workers for the kingdom in the partnership, a partnership in the gospel through their giving, their financial support. Part of the reason why Paul is writing to the church in Philippi is to say thank you for these gifts. Now, let me say at this point, I know the people of Southside are generous. And let me say to you today, thank you. Thank you. And yes, let's keep giving for the work of the kingdom. Whatever that looks like, let's keep giving. Of course, the foundation of giving is found in all that the Bible teaches about money. It teaches that all that we have is a gift from God to be enjoyed and used wisely. It draws our attention to the generosity and willingness of God demonstrated in the giving of Jesus, and encourages us to do the same. But it wasn't just through their financial giving that the Philippians were involved in kingdom work. Nor was it just through Epaphroditus, Euodia, and Syntyche, who had been sent from Philippi on short-term mission to work alongside Paul. There was something else as well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Paul is talking about being in prison in Rome. And because of my chains, another of the benefits, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul is speaking here of what is going on in the church at Rome, where he is imprisoned. And his imprisonment is encouraging others to continue in the work of the kingdom, even though they are afraid. Even though they are afraid, they are stepping up. Can I suggest to you that another reason why Paul is writing to the Philippian church is that they, just like the Christians in Rome, are facing very real opposition. It is getting dangerous to be a Christian, let alone talk openly about Jesus. And Paul is writing to encourage them to keep doing kingdom work. Chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Paul is encouraging them to continue. Sorry, I thought I'd missed out some. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Yes, Paul is encouraging them to continue, even though they might feel afraid, even though they might not feel up to the task, even though they might suffer. Continue striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. What is it we are here to do? What is the work of the church? Surely it is to let the world know that Jesus has come, that this world of sin and brokenness is not how it is supposed to be, that the kingdom of God has broken into this world, that the eternal kind of life is real, is for all who receive King Jesus. Of course, this striving together will take on a multitude of different expressions. Over recent weeks, we have been hearing from some of our Alliance International workers that our faith-giving contributions help support. We've heard from Yakim and Grace, who work in East Africa. We've heard from Steve and Lynn and their work of translation. We've heard from... I wish everyone was here, because right now someone would help me and shout out their names. Josh and Jacqueline, who are, Kerry, help me right now. Josh and Jacqueline, who are in Cambodia and working among trafficked children and girls and young women. And we heard from Gary and Jane. Many different expressions. And then there are what's going on here in our own church. In the past, there have been many expressions, English Conversation Club, the people talking and with friends, people inviting people to different events, people getting involved intentionally in all manner of things. Yes, this striving together takes on a multitude of different expressions. We can't meet together like we used to be able to, but it does not mean we stop doing the work of the kingdom. We do not stop being co-workers in the kingdom. And as we see the building, and let me stress that the work of the kingdom is not dependent on the building, but the building gives us great opportunity. It's going to open up a whole new opportunity for us. So this is what I'd like to do for a minute. I want to give you the opportunity to do some graffiti. Now, let me just set something up here. I'm going to open up a whiteboard. And if you've never done this before in Zoom, you can actually write or type on this wall, what you can see on the screen. And what I want to ask you this morning is, what do you think we could do at Southside? What do you think it could look like for us at Southside if the work of the church is being co-workers of the kingdom of God?